This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Soderberg here with you. It is Prime Time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we are about 10 minutes away from puck drop of Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. Right now, the Oilers are a minus 120 favorite at home. Here at Circa, a little bit reduced, minus 117. And the total, we have some different lines here in the market. Your best number for an under is 6.5. That's at DraftKings. Juice to the under at minus 125. That is a bet I would make for this game, going under the 6.5. Here at Circa, your total is at 6, minus 122 the over. When I look at this game, I certainly look at both of these teams, and they are even. To me, they are even teams. They've been incredible both in these playoffs. The Oilers have certainly shown their ability to come back no matter how large the deficit they have come back here. And just think about this. Where would the Oilers be? Would the Oilers even be in this final right now if Jim Hiller, the Kings head coach, did not challenge the game-tying goal in game number 3. I mean, I know it's irrelevant now because it's over, but like, just I want to bring you back to that moment. The Kings win games 1 and 2 in LA. In game number 3, the Kings had a lead of 4-3 going into the third period. The Oilers tie the game 7 minutes into the third period. It's a 4-4 game. And the LA Kings decide to challenge the goal for goaltender interference. Keep in mind, the play was already reviewed by the replay, by the league offices, by the replay offices, by Toronto. The officials already reviewed the goal because there was a discussion as to whether or not, like, the puck had crossed the line, whether it was a good goal or not. So the league and the replay office had already looked at this goal. And they said, good goal, tie game 4-4. Well, Jim Hiller and the Kings decide, we want to challenge this. You got to look at this again. Okay? So what happens? They review the goal and they determine it's a good goal. And what happens when you challenge a goal and you lose that challenge? You take a bench minor penalty. So then the Oilers go on the power play, and 10 seconds into the power play, they score, snap the tie, and instead of 4-4 tied, it is a 5-4 Oilers game. They go on to win 7-4. So think about that moment. The Edmonton Oilers are down 2-0. They're down 4-3. They score and tie it in the third period, get the benefit of the replay challenge, take the lead on the ensuing power play, and never look back. And they go on to win the next 6 straight games and go well on their way to where we are now in this Stanley Cup final. Think about that moment. Yes, we could have had, I mean, think about this. One, it could have been the, not challenging it and just being 4-4, and who knows what happens if that game stays 4-4. Or how about the opposite side of it? What if the challenge actually worked and the goal was overturned and the Oilers are down 4-3 still? What if they lose that game? They might be eliminated. The Kings might win that series up 3-0. It's just crazy to think about where they've come from here in this playoffs. But they have shown you they're never out of any game. It doesn't matter how many goals they're down by. And we just look at the reports, the team numbers throughout this entirety of the playoffs, and both these teams have been fantastic. If we look at the full playoffs right now in 5v5 situations, okay, so just 5-on-5, the best Corsi percentage, which is all your shot attempts, Carolina 59.14, they're eliminated. Number 2, Florida Panthers 55.52. Number 4, Edmonton Oilers 54.09%. Fenwick, your unblocked shot attempts. Carolina number 1, 57.85. They're obviously eliminated. Florida number 2, Edmonton number 3. Oh, that's in the regular. I'm sorry. I'm not even looking at the play. That's regular season. I'm not even looking at the playoffs. I'm looking at regular season. So that's how good these teams have been just in the regular season. In the playoffs, Florida 5th. In Corsi, Edmonton 7th. In Fenwick, Florida 3, Edmonton 4. And then in 5 versus 5, goals scored, 47 for Florida, 42 for Edmonton. Goals against, 28 for Florida, 26 for Edmonton. I mean, these teams couldn't be closer. If I look at goals for goals above expected, now this is a big number here. Florida, 12.31, by far the most in this entire postseason, 12.31 goals above expected, which means that from an offensive standpoint, Florida is actually exceeding expectations. When you look at the expected goal numbers versus the actual goal numbers, whereas Edmonton only has 2. So if we look at the goals scored, yeah, 47 goals scored for the Panthers, they've actually only been expected to score 35. Meanwhile, of the 42 goals for Edmonton, they've been expected to score 40 of them. Again, I'm just looking at even strength situations here. So Edmonton maybe has played more to the back of their baseball card, for lack of a better term, which is why I give an edge to Edmonton in this series. I think Sergei Bobrovsky is the X factor as far as goaltending is concerned. With all due respect to Stuart Skinner and the emotional ride that he's been through this entire postseason, getting benched, coming back, all that stuff, I give the edge to Bobrovsky in net. But at home, tonight in game one, I got to go with the home team. The home numbers are too strong. They're just too strong. Again, going back several Stanley Cup finals, 13-4 in the last 17 Stanley Cup finals. That's game one for the home teams. Game one, home teams, 13-4. And then the total, 6.5, it's too high. If you can get the 6.5, play the under. If you can get the 6 and that's your only option, I'd lean towards the under. As we're seeing money come in late on Florida, actually pushing these numbers down a bit. Here at Circa now, Edmonton minus 113. So a little bit of an adjustment here as some late money coming in on the Florida Panthers. I like under first period. I like under 6.5 for the game. If you can get it, lay the juice. And I like the Oilers to win. And I'm going to go with a Jonathan Davis special. That's what we're going to call it, as JD will join us later on in the program. He's been doing great work at VSiN.com, giving you the numbers here throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. The winning games by margin. All these games have been decided by 2 or more goals, the majority of these games. You right now, you can play both these teams, -1.5. Oilers -1.5 is +190. Panthers -1.5 is +240. I'd play both of them. Because the odds are this game is going to be decided by 2 or more goals. And specifically for the favorites, like the Edmonton Oilers are tonight, which is I'm on the Oilers tonight. So I'll take the Oilers on the money line. I'll take the Oilers on the puck line. I'm also going to play the Oilers on an alternate puck line of -2.5. Because of the wins by the favorites in these playoffs, 50 wins by the favorites, 35 of them have been by 2 or more goals. But 24 of them, so almost half of them, have been by 3 or more goals. So you can get the Oilers at +330. At -2.5, I mean, these are attractive plus money numbers. And anytime goal scorer for tonight, how could I go against the guy that I'm betting to win the Conn Smythe, which is Leon Draisaitl? He's at +110. If you're looking at shots on goal, Leon Draisaitl right now is at, let's see, over 2.5 is -160. He averages over 3 shots a game. Connor McDavid over 2.5 is -130. My goodness. But let's take a look. Yeah, McDavid's at 3.5 +120. And 2.5 for Draisaitl, -148 to the over 2.5. That's another best bet for me. Leon Draisaitl over 2.5 shots on goal. -148. Lock that in now. In fact, I'll make that the best bet of the game tonight. Leon Draisaitl over 2.5 shots on goal. -148. Well, speaking of best bets, you know they're brought to you by G-Bank, and introducing the G-Bank Trifecta, the $500 Trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. So here's what you got to do. You open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger a $500 trifecta. You're going to get a $200 cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. All you got to do is go to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. The $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. So to recap, we're on the Edmonton Oilers to win the series. Conn Smythe Award winner is Leon Draisaitl at plus 750 available on DraftKings. You might be able to find higher somewhere else. If you're looking for a bet on the Florida Panthers, instead of taking the Panthers to win the series, I go with Sergei Bobrovsky at plus 250 to win the Conn Smythe. You can also go with Sasha Barkov plus 550 to win the Conn Smythe. Those are better bets to me than playing the Panthers at plus 110 to win the series. But the best bet for tonight's game, Leon Draisaitl over 2.5 shots on goal, minus 148. We also like the Oilers on the money line. And go with the puck lines. Plus 190 on minus 1.5, over plus 300 odds for minus 2.5 for the Edmonton Oilers. Or if you want to play the alternate puck line for the Panthers, get plus 300 or plus 250 on them minus 1.5. We'll tell you, we'll keep an eye on this game all throughout, plus update you on the situation going on in D.C. between the Cubs and the Nationals. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. It's primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network. The puck is going to drop momentarily. They are singing the national anthems there in Edmonton. The Oilers and the Panthers getting ready to get underway. Game one of the Stanley Cup Final. And your final numbers right now as money is coming in on the Panthers as we get closer and closer to puck drop. Right now, looking at the market here, Circa is down to minus 114 on the Edmonton Oilers. A total of six, minus 118 to the over. Still DraftKings holding steady at that 6.5 number, so take the under 6.5 available at DraftKings would be my recommendation. Want to get you updated on what's going on in Major League Baseball. The last we talked about the game going on in D.C., Matthew Boyd of the Chicago Cubs was perfect through five innings. Well, in the sixth inning, Matthew Boyd strikes out the first batter, walks the second batter, but then Nunez, who walked, so the perfect game's over, no hitter still intact, he gets thrown out stealing. So Boyd had still faced the minimum, but then Hassel singles to right field before C.J. Abrams grounds out. The perfect game and no-no gone in the sixth inning as they head to the bottom of the seventh right now. Still no score between the Cubs and the Nationals. For Matthew Boyd, he has gone six shutout innings, only one hit, one walk, and six strikeouts. He's only thrown 65 pitches. So you want to talk about a game saving the bullpen? He's going to still go here in the bottom of the seventh and even maybe into the eighth and ninth. He can get a complete game here, but his offense not backing him up. Three singles to start the game for the Chicago Cubs off of Mackenzie Gore. The first three batters all reached base, and the Cubs did not score in that first inning. And that's it. Those are the only three hits that Mackenzie Gore has allowed in this game. Seven shutout innings for Mackenzie Gore. Three hits, just the first three batters of the game. Seven strikeouts, one walk, and he has thrown 94 pitches, so his night is likely over, as we'll see if the Cubs can get to the Nationals' bullpen in the top of the eighth inning, but they are going to the bottom of the seventh there in D.C. No score between the Cubs and the Nationals. Your live betting number right now is the Chicago Cubs and Nationals both split minus 115 both ways. Your live total is 2.5 minus 125 to the over. Here's why I don't hate that 2.5 at all. Because the Nationals could certainly score here in the bottom of the inning. We can get runs 7th, 8th, or 9th. But also, if it goes to extra innings, you got the ghost runner for both teams. You're likely to score 2 runs. So I don't hate an over 2.5. And as I say that, the Nationals, I believe, have just scored. I haven't gotten an update, but it is off the board right now, which is telling me that something is about to happen. And yep, in fact, I see 1-0 Nationals, which means Ahmed Rosario has just hit a solo home run off of Matthew Boyd. Nationals lead 1-0 now, the first run that Boyd has given up today, the second hit that Boyd has given up. Ahmed Rosario with a solo home run to lead off the bottom of the 7th inning. Your line has now completely changed. Nationals minus 330, live total of 3.5. Elsewhere, they are in the bottom of the 6th inning, and the Pirates still shutting out the Astros, 3-0. Pirates leading Houston, as getting the start for Houston was Ryan Gusto. He gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the 2nd, 1 run in the bottom of the 3rd. And Mike Burrows, 5 1/3 scoreless innings, 5 hits, 6 strikeouts, and no walks for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he's gotten a little run support, something that his teammate Paul Skeens did not get when he pitched yesterday. They're in the bottom of the 4th inning in the Bronx. The Guardians still beating the Yankees 3-0. Luis Ortiz has gone 3 1/3 scoreless, only allowing 2 hits with 4 strikeouts and 2 walks. Meanwhile, Clark Schmidt got the start for the Yankees, and he has given up 3 runs here through 4 innings. So the Guardians with a 3-0 lead over the Yankees there, bottom of the 4th. Looking at your live total right now, it is at 7.5. And I can tell you right now, if you like the Yankees to come back in this game, I'm more comfortable betting a live over as opposed to betting the Yankees to come back and win. And I understand you get a nice fat plus money price if you think the Yankees come back and win, but I'm more comfortable with a live over, because if the Yankees come back and win, we know that at the bare minimum, that's got to be 7 runs scored, right? Because they're down 3-0. So if you think the Yankees come back to win, at the bare minimum, we're getting 7 runs in this game. Your live total is at 7.5. The Guardians still have the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings to score runs. And with the shaky nature of the back end of the Yankee bullpen now, with me not trusting Devin Williams, I don't even know if Devin Williams is going to be available to pitch tonight, but he gave up 1 run in the 9th inning last night. I don't trust him if he comes into the game. So I'm more comfortable playing an over 7.5 if I think the Yankees are going to come back and win. Because, like, as I mentioned, that's if I believe the Yankees are getting 4 runs, I got to believe I'm getting 2 runs somewhere else, whether it's from the Yankees or from the Guardians. So I'd rather play an over 7.5, and that over 7.5 right now is minus 130 between the Yankees and the Guardians there in the bottom of the 4th inning in the Bronx. Bottom of the 5th inning in Toronto. The Phillies still holding on to that 1-0 lead over the Blue Jays. How about Mick Abel, who made his big league debut earlier this year in a start against the Pirates on May 18th. 6 shutout innings, 5 hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts. He then gets sent back down and then called back up, because it's going to be that type of situation for Abel, you know, because of all the options they have and whatnot. Like, he's not, and maybe they should keep him up with the big league club for the rest of the year, but he's one of those guys that they consider him, they want him to get more work at AAA. They don't, you know, so they're letting him go back and forth or whatever. So that was his first start, first career start at the big leagues. His second career start tonight in Toronto, 5 shutout innings, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. I mean, this is an incredible start to a big league career for Mick Abel. And again, let's now combine the 5 innings in his first start, the 6 innings in his first start, the 5 innings in this start tonight. He has now gone 11 innings in the majors this year. He has not allowed a run. He's only allowed 6 hits, and he has struck out, let's see, 9 and what did I say? How many does he have tonight? 2. 11 innings, 11 strikeouts, 0 walks, no runs, 6 hits. That's a pretty good first 11 innings of your big league career. for Mick Cable and the Philadelphia Phillies. Live line right now on that game as we are in the bottom of the, or now going, excuse me, to the top of the sixth inning in Toronto. Your live line right now, Phillies minus 238. Your live total is at 4.5, and it is minus 145 to the live over right now. Diamondbacks and Braves are finally underway after a rain delay there in Atlanta. So they're in the top of the first inning. Chris Sale is on the mound for the Braves, and Merrill Kelly gets the start for the Diamondbacks. Bottom of the third inning in Tampa, the Rays with a 2-0 lead over the Rangers, and they are threatening with runners on first and third with only one out. Kumar Rocker getting the start for the Rangers in this one. Shane Baz for Tampa. The Rangers just continue to have no offense. Right now, looking at this live line, the Rays, overwhelming favorites. Your live total is at 8.5. Now, I get it. It's 2-0 right now, and the Rays are threatening to score runs. It is the third inning. If the Rays don't score here for the rest of this third inning, I still like the under 8.5. Because that's pretty much what it was before this game started. So that's one where I would lean towards a live under if the Rays get out of it. But again, one more run by the Rays, this thing could shoot up to 9.5. And then maybe that's the value, is to play the 9.5 at the under. So we'll see what happens in the remainder of this third inning if the Rays are able to score a run. Best case scenario would be scoring a run with an out, because then I would play that under 9.5. But if they score with a hit, it's a no play for me. Jonathan looks like Aranda with a single. So they do score. 3-0 Rays now. Bottom of the third inning with runners on first and second. Still a rain delay in Chicago. White Sox and the Tigers haven't gotten underway just yet. So we'll see what happens there. And we have the first goal of the Stanley Cup Final. The first goal of the Stanley Cup Final just 2 minutes into the game. Not even. I think we're at a minute into the game. The first goal of the Stanley Cup Final is scored by, wait for it, Leon Bleepin' Draisaitl. The smile on my face is because we played Draisaitl to win the Conn Smythe, and we gave out Draisaitl over 2.5 shots on goal. So, like, that's the smile on my face. I mean, for, you know, under 1.5 in the first period, I don't like this goal being scored so early, but it's a good start for our Conn Smythe bet. A minute into the game, Leon Draisaitl opens up the scoring, the assist to Kasperi Kapanen and Jake Woolman as the Oilers lead the Panthers 1-0 right now. Early on here, Stanley Cup Final. Want to remind you guys about everything going on at First Bet. It's the Belmont this weekend, so make sure you head to First Bet and take advantage of the offer that they have for you there. Use the promo code VSIN200 at sign up. This is VSIN Primetime.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, Leon Draisaitl opening up the scoring as the Oilers take a 1-0 lead over the Panthers. First period action, Stanley Cup Final, game number one. The assist on the goal goes to Kasperi Kapanen and Jake Woolman. It was a rebound that went right to Draisaitl in his favorite spot there to the left of the goaltender as he drills the rebound past Sergei Bobrovsky. So Draisaitl with his 8th goal of the postseason. And, I mean, I couldn't feel better about my guy to win the Conn Smythe. You bet a guy to win the Conn Smythe at plus 750 odds, and all of a sudden he scores the first goal of the series. I mean, you feel really good about that right now. But your live markets, as we are 5 minutes into this game, we have the Oilers are now minus 245 on the live line. Now, this is going to fluctuate throughout the entirety of the night, of course. Like, if the Panthers tie it up, the odds are going to change. If the Oilers take a two-goal lead, it's going to change. But the Oilers now minus 250, and your minus a goal and a half is at even money. Your live total is still at 6.5, but it is minus 135 to the over now rather than the under. So I'm still hoping that we can get a scoreless remainder of this first period and cash a first period under, but happy with the Draisaitl goal right now. He was plus 110 anytime scorer. He was actually your favorite to be the first goal scorer of the game. So if you cash that bet, I mean, congratulations on the first goal scorer of the game for Leon Draisaitl. And for the shots on goal prop, I mean, we're on our way. right? We took the over 2.5 shots on goal for Leon Draisaitl, and already with the one shot on goal that goes in, just need two more shots for the remainder of this game. So as we progress throughout the game, I'm going to take a look at the analytical aspect of it to see what the numbers tell us about the expected goals, the possession numbers, the shot attempts, things like that. And during the first intermission, we're going to be joined by our very own Jonathan Davis. You read JD's work up on VSiN.com as he does an incredible job previewing all the hockey action. And he has been on the trends that I mentioned earlier about all these games being decided by two or more goals. And I'm sure that he has played this trend once again with the minus 1.5 on both of these teams, because you can get the plus money on both. As far as his plays for tonight's game, he did do the minus 1.5 on both of these games. He took both of these teams to have an empty net goal, so the possibility that it could happen. His anytime goal scorers were Connor Brown, Corey Perry, Adam Henrique, and Sam Bennett. So we'll keep an eye on that. For the series, he did place, he had Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, got it at plus 1,500. So this is what I mean, shop around, because different books have different odds. I was talking to Mitch Moss earlier, and he got it at the Westgate here at plus 1,200. So, you know, depending on which book you played it at, you got different markets on your Conn Smythe Award winner. But Draisaitl, he played as well. We're talking about Jonathan Davis. He did play Sergei Bobrovsky, Sam Bennett, and then he did Oilers series spread minus 1.5. Connor McDavid to lead the series in points. Corey Perry at least 2 goals in the series. And then the Oilers, this is the double result. I love this. Edmonton Oilers to win game one and win the series. And then he also played a sprinkle at plus 450 on the Panthers to win game one, but Edmonton to win the series. I think those are fun bets to do. And I like those a lot. So we'll talk to JD coming up during the first intermission, get his thoughts on what we've seen so far in this first period and any live bets that we're going to make as we progress into the second period. Once again, Oilers with a 1-0 lead on a Leon Draisaitl goal just over a minute into the game here in game one of the Stanley Cup final. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Taking a look at what's going on your Major League Baseball scoreboard. I have the Yankees in the first 5 innings. That is about to be a loss. There's 2 outs in the bottom of the 5th. Guardians with a 3-0 lead over the Yankees. And only 2 hits for the Bombers here off of Luis Ortiz, as now the 5th inning has come to a close. So only 2 hits off of Luis Ortiz here for the Yankees. And for the Guardians, all 3 of their runs came in the first inning. So Stephen Kwan walked to lead off the game, and then Martinez homered, 2-run home run. Next thing you know, the Yankees are down 2-0. Jose Ramirez then doubles. Clark Schmidt then gets the next 2 guys to fly out before Schneeman doubles, scoring Ramirez, and the Guardians end the inning 3-0. In the first inning, Aaron Judge singled. That was the first hit for the New York Yankees, and that was nothing else happened in the first inning. Paul Goldschmidt walked in the second inning, but then was erased on a double play. Trent Grisham walked in the third inning, and Ben Rice singled. So the Yankees did have first and second with 2 outs, and Aaron Judge struck out looking in the bottom of the 3rd, and that's it. Yankees did not get a base runner in the 4th and did not get a base runner in the 5th. So Yankees trailing 3-0 against the Guardians there in the top of the 6th inning. Elsewhere, bottom of the 7th, and the Pirates are still holding on to a 3-0 lead over the Astros. 8 hits for the Pirates, 6 for the Astros. Bottom of the 8th inning in D.C., Matthew Boyd still in the game. He gave up that solo home run to who hit that was Ahmed Rosario hit the solo home run for the Nationals. That's the only run we have in this game. Both teams only have 3 hits. Bottom of the 8th, no score between the Cubs and the Nationals. And I can't say enough about the start here from Mackenzie Gore, who came out of the game after 7 innings and was replaced by Brad Lord. Mackenzie Gore gave up singles to the first 3 batters that he faced. At that point, the Cubs' money line was north of I saw it north of $2. It probably was north of $3, to be honest with you. Because with bases loaded and nobody out, I got to look at the run expectancy matrix here. Bases loaded, let's see. 1, 2, and 3 with nobody out you are expected to score 2.282 runs. And that, actually, that data hasn't been updated. That is old numbers. Let's see. Here's the new numbers. Oh, it's even worse. 2.69 runs. The Cubs were in a situation where the expected result is to score almost 3 runs. 2.7 runs you are expected to score when in any given inning when you have the bases loaded and nobody out. And they go strikeout, strikeout, pop out to foul territory. And kudos to Mackenzie Gore, because after those first 3 batters reached, he didn't allow a hit for the rest of the game. So great start for Mackenzie Gore. Nationals holding on to a 1-0 lead over the Cubs in the bottom of the 8th inning there in D.C. The Blue Jays have tied the game over the Phillies. So it is a 1-1 game in the bottom of the 6th inning. And let's see, did Abel give up that run? Abel did give up the run. 5 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 1 run for Mick Abel. So the first run that he has given up in his career. And it was because of a single by Jimenez. Gets to second on a wild pitch, and then Bo Bichette triples, scoring Jimenez here in the bottom of the 6th inning. So, tie game, Phillies and the Blue Jays from Toronto. Live line right now on that game is Blue Jays minus 220. Wow. Now, that's got to be factoring in the Blue Jays having a runner on base right now, which they do. Bo Bichette is on third base as Kirkering is coming in relief. So, one out. Runner on third, tie game between the Blue Jays and the Phillies, and your live line is the Blue Jays right now, minus 220, live total of 5.5. Elsewhere on the baseball scoreboard, no score between the Nationals, between the Diamondbacks and the Braves in the bottom of the first inning. More runs tacked on for the Rays as they lead 5-0 over the Rangers, top of the 4th inning there in Tampa. And the White Sox and Tigers still haven't gotten underway. We'll see if that game winds up being postponed. They are supposed to play a day game tomorrow. So the only issue, and I'm speculating here because I don't know, I haven't, you know, read anything on Twitter. We can look for this. The White Sox stay home for a game on Friday, but it is a getaway spot for the Tigers because they have to return home to Detroit for a game on Friday. But that's not necessarily big travel. So if they postpone this game tonight, I think they can play a doubleheader tomorrow. Because the game tomorrow is scheduled for a 2 o'clock Eastern time start. So they could easily play a double dip here on Thursday. And the White Sox stay home for Friday night. Doesn't matter. And the Tigers can easily get back to Detroit and play their Friday night game. So the longer this stays in a delay, the more I think we could be headed towards a doubleheader. But we'll get you that information as soon as we get it. We still have 4 games coming up on the schedule tonight, including the rubber match between the Mets and the Dodgers. Both the first and second game of this 3-game series were both decided in 10 innings. Will it go to extras tonight? I do have a best bet on that game that I will give you coming up later on here in this program. But if you want to know where the real money is going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you the insight into where the sharp action is landing. You can see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. And you can get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Primetime right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live, watching all the action in Major League Baseball and Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, which is now tied at 1. Carter Verhaeghe scoring at 10:49 of the first period. So the first period does go over 1.5, if that's a bet that you had. The game total is still at 6.5. Well, now it's up to 7.5 as the Panthers are on a power play. And let's see. Game is tied at one. Panthers are on a power play here over the Edmonton Oilers after just scoring that goal by Sam Bennett. And the Panthers have scored on the power play. So now Florida has taken a 2-1 lead over the Oilers with a power play goal, 7:30 to go in the first period. Your live total is at 7.5, minus 140 to the over. Your live line right now, Florida minus 195, Oilers plus 150 on the return. If you want the minus a goal and a half for the Panthers, it is plus 130. And if you want to go on the opposite side and take a plus 1.5 on the Oilers, down 2-1 right now. Well, how about this for a nice plus juiced price here? They are minus, let's see, plus 350. Oilers plus 350 if you want them at minus a goal and a half as they trail 2-1 here in the first period. That goal was scored by Brad Marchand on the power play. And I talked to a lot of people about this this series and this team, and including yesterday, I was joined by Bill Lindsay, the former NHL player who's now the analyst for the Florida Panthers. And I asked him about Brad Marchand's impact on this team, and he said it was like almost immeasurable. That as soon as the guy came in, which you wouldn't think so because they've been rivals for so long, right? You know, with all the years with the Bruins and the Panthers. But Brad Marchand came into this dressing room, and the exact words from Bill yesterday on Cashing Out with me was that he was a round peg in a round hole. Like, he fit in perfectly. The guy's a natural-born leader. Obviously, he's been a captain for the majority of his career, and he came in, and he has had a major impact on this team. And so he scores here on the power play, the assist to Nate Schmidt and Evan Rodriguez. And so there you have it. And by the way, that first goal was changed from Carter Verhaeghe. It was credited now to Sam Bennett. So Sam Bennett gets the goal. Carter Verhaeghe gets the assist. Matthew Tkachuk gets the second assist. But why that's important is because Sam Bennett has 11 goals now, leading all skaters in this entire postseason. And we talked about the potential of his odds for the Conn Smythe Award because he had, you know, led in those goals. And well, there you have it. The odds are changing, ever flowing right now up on DraftKings. I love this. They have live odds here. Connor McDavid's your favorite at plus 130 now to win the Conn Smythe. Sergei Bobrovsky from 250 now down to plus 240. Alexander Barkov was at plus 550. Now he's at plus 500. Leon Draisaitl goes up to plus 850. Sam Bennett, who was at once 30-1, is now 1,800, plus 1,800. And Sam Bennett, with his 11th goal, leads all skaters in goals now here in the postseason. So obviously he's the leader on the Florida Panthers, but that is a huge goal. A huge change, I should say, in goals in the scoring there, as it gets credited now to Sam Bennett scoring that goal. Meanwhile, the Edmonton Oilers are about to be on a power play. So it'll be their first opportunity with the man advantage here. Florida has had two power plays. They scored on one of them. And here we have the Oilers with an opportunity on the man advantage to see if this deadly power play can even up the game. If you want to place a bet right now, live market up on DraftKings for this game, as we are about to get underway here with 7 minutes to go in the first period. Oilers plus 145, total 7.5, minus 135 to the over. I jump in right now because we know how good, unless... did the Oilers just take a penalty off that faceoff? Boy, I think the Oilers just took a penalty off the faceoff. And so we might actually be on 4-on-4. And we are at 4-on-4. How about that? So the Oilers power play gets erased immediately. There was an interference call against Anton Lundell at 12:40. 6 seconds later, so literally off the faceoff, Corey Perry gets called for tripping against Sam Reinhart, and now we have 4-on-4 hockey between the Panthers and the Oilers. Keeping an eye on our best bet, the Leon Draisaitl shots on goal prop. He just has the one shot on goal, which is the goal that he scored. So we still need two shots on goal to cash his over 2.5. So we'll wait and see what happens here. I would have loved for it to bid on the power play, because we know Draisaitl sets up in that slot on the power play, and he's going to get shots on goal. We could have gotten both shots right there on the power play, as Is there another penalty? The Panthers have just taken another penalty. Are we getting 4-on-3 hockey right now? Aaron Ekblad gets called for a minor. We're about to have 4-on-3 hockey. I mean, we got to bet. I think you got to bet the Oilers right now. They should score 4-on-3. Right now, Edmonton Oilers plus 115 on the money line. Plus 1.5 is minus 210 on the puck line. Live total 7.5 minus 140. I'd be surprised if they don't score here on a 4-on-3. So, I mean, that's, I'd make that call. I'd make that bet right now as quickly as I could to get it in, because I think that if this is a 4-on-3, I got to believe that Edmonton scores here. I think they have a real good shot to score. So we'll keep it. It is a holding against Leon Draisaitl. So Ekblad holds Draisaitl and gets called for the penalty. And let's see if we can get some Draisaitl shots here on a 4-on-3 power play. Let's get some shots on goal. And then this is going to be fun, because then one player is going to come out of the box for the Panthers, and it'll be a 4-on-4. But then the Oilers player will come out of the box. It'll be a 5-on-4. And then we'll see, because it's only seconds apart. I mean, these penalties were so close. It's not like these man advantages are going to last a long time. So let's see if we can get some Draisaitl shots on goal. And who knows, maybe the Oilers even this thing up as the 4-on-3 advantage continues here for Edmonton. 6 minutes to go in the first period. The Panthers with a 2-1 lead over the Oilers in what is already an exciting start to what should be an exciting long series. And in case you missed it, my series long bets, forget about the players, the Conn Smythe and the market. Plus 200 on this series to go 6 and plus 200 on it to go 7. Play some both. To me, the series goes six or seven games. I can't see this ending. I can't see it ending in 5. So the fact that you get plus 200 on both the 6-game finish and the 7-game finish, that's the bet to make. I do not see this series ending before we get to game 6. These teams are too evenly matched. They're too close. But let's see. Let's get some shots here from Draisaitl. I'd love to cash this best bet in the first period. Then we don't have to sweat the rest of the game. We can just hope for our plus money grab on a puck line and see how it plays out. Once again, we're going to be joined by our very own Jonathan Davis. JD will join us in the first intermission. We'll get his thoughts on how the period played out and what can we bet here for the second period. Also, we're going to talk NBA Finals game number 1 coming up with our very own Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, host of Money Moves, our basketball insider here at VSiN. Get his thoughts on game number 1. I have a couple of best bets for game number 1 of the NBA Finals. I've talked about it a lot here on VSiN. I'm standing my ground. I have the bets, but the bets are locked in. And I have strong trends that back my plays here for game number 1 of the NBA Finals. But before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market, they move it. You are not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time professional bettors on your own, but with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the sharp plays deliver the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights all delivered right to you via email or X. And this isn't some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right there on the site. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at SharpPlays.com. All right, so no goals were scored there on the 4-on-3, and I believe the man advantage is just over, like the mini man advantage for both of these teams, which is crazy because, like, that's going to go down as a power play for the, like, those weren't real power plays. Yet, if you look at the box score, it's going to say that the Oilers are 0-for-2 on the power play. It's like, there should be some sort of stipulation here. We can't count an abbreviated 6-second power play as a power play, and we can't count a 4-on-3 for 30 seconds or whatever it was to be a power play. And it just, it makes the box score look a little bit worse. But then again, that's why we track stats in different measures. We look at 5-on-5, we look at even strength, and we're going to take a look at all of it once we get to the first intermission. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSiN Live. It's prime time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.